You're listening to the Gill Radio Weekly News and Review. I'm your announcer, DJ Shy John. This was recorded on Tuesday, August 6th, 2013. Top of the news today in Yahoo News this past week: new jobs, disproportionately low pay or part-time. This is by Paul Wiseman, August 4th. Washington, AP. The 162,000 jobs the economy added in July were a disappointment. The quality of the jobs was even worse. A disproportionate number of the added jobs were part-time or low-paying or both. Part-time work accounted for more than 65% of the positions employers added in July. Low-paying retailers, restaurants, and bars supplied more than half July's job gain. You're getting jobs added, but they might not be the best quality jobs, says John Canale, an economist with LPL Financial in Boston. So far this year, low-paying industries have provided 61% of the nation's job growth, even though these industries represent just 39% of overall U.S. jobs, according to Labor Department numbers analyzed by Moody's Analytics. Mid-paying industries have contributed just 22% of this year's job gain. The jobs that are being created are not generating much income. Stephen Ricciuto, chief economist at Mizuho Securities USA, wrote in a note to clients, "That's one reason Americans' pay hasn't kept up with even historically low inflation since the Great Recession ended, supposedly, in June 2009. Average hourly pay fell 2 cents in July. Average hourly pay to $23.98 an hour." Employers. Among those feeling the squeeze is Elizabeth Wilkinson, 28, of Houston. After losing a $39,000 a year administrative job at Rice University in January, Wilkinson found work at an employment agency for $15 an hour, yet she's had to supplement that job with part-time work as a waitress. "This morning, I put $1.35's worth of gas in my car because that is all the money that I had," Wilkinson said via email. "It's very difficult to survive on $30,000 a year, and I am living paycheck to paycheck." Employers, part-time work has made up 77% of the job growth so far this year. The government defines part-time work as being less than 35 hours a week, so they don't have to pay you any benefits. Weak economies overseas have reduced demand for U.S. goods and, as a result, for better-paying U.S. jobs in manufacturing. Government spending cuts have taken a toll on some middle-class jobs, too. Many employers have also discovered that they can use technology to do tasks more cheaply and efficiently than office workers used to do. And some have found that they can shift middle-class jobs to low-wage countries such as China. Oh boy! By contrast, most lower-paying jobs, from waiters and hotel maids to store clerks, bartenders, and home health care aides, can't be automated or shipped abroad, so we'll just lowball you. You're always going to have jobs in the retail sector, says Michael Evangelist, a policy analyst with the Liberal National Employment Law Project, which advocates on behalf of low-wage workers. Consider Mike Ulrich, 30, who earned a master's degree in public administration in May from the University of Colorado. Ulrich hasn't been able to find work that requires a college degree. Instead, he works at a hardware store in Spokane, Washington, earning the state's minimum wage, $9.19 an hour. Oh, that's what they pay in Washington, huh? Not all July's new jobs were low-paying. Local schools hired more than 10,000 teachers and other employees. Financial firms added 15,000 jobs. The surge in part-time employment began in April. Jason Furman, the new chairman of the White House Council of Economics Advisors, says part-time employment has been inflated by the across-the-board budget cuts that began to bite in March, forcing some federal workers to take time off without pay. Boo-hoo. Analysts say some employers are offering part-time over full-time work to sidestep the new health care law's rule that they provide medical coverage for permanent workers. The Obama administration has delayed that provision for a year and into 2015. But Furman disputed the idea that the health care law will ever drive companies to favor part-timers over full-timers and says the notion makes even less sense now. Why would they shift people to part-time for something that's not going to happen until 2015? Well, we could answer that question for you, couldn't we, Furman? Scott Anderson, chief economist at Bank of the West, thinks concerns about the rise in part-time work are overblown. Well, of course you do. You're a chief economist of a bank. The government's figures on part-time jobs are highly volatile, Anderson notes. The big gain this year could quickly reverse, he says. Well, how bad could it get? Yet for the most part, Daniel Alpert, managing partner of Westwood Capital, wrote in a report last month, the only folks engaging in meaningful hiring are doing so because labor is cheap. So are employers. The low quality of the added jobs could help explain something that has puzzled economists. How has the U.S. economy managed to add an average of roughly 200,000 jobs a month this year, even though it grew at a tepid annual rate below 2% in the first half of the year? Easy answer. Some are proposing an answer. Perhaps a chronically slow growth economy can't generate many good-paying jobs, but can produce lots of part-time or lower-wage retail and restaurant work. Diane Swonk, chief economist at Mesirow Financial, recalls that the robust economic growth of the late 90s generated millions of middle-class jobs, and it pushed unemployment so low that short-staffed companies were forced to convert part-time jobs into full-time ones. Faster growth would fix things, Swonk says. That's the magic fairy dust. Yeah, and I think that's what economists are snorting, don't you think? And now on to the fun part of the news, the Harper's Weekly Review, dated this morning, August 6, 2013. Zimbabwe's National Election Commission announced that Robert Mugabe had won 61% of the vote in the country's presidential election, securing him a seventh consecutive term as leader. The opposition Movement for Democratic Change party alleged that Mugabe's ZANU-PF party had stacked the voters' registry with invalid names, intimidated voters in rural areas, and plotted to swap out ballot boxes. There are clearly hundreds of thousands of deceased people on the voters' roll, said an independent monitor. Either that or Japan does not have the oldest age population in the world. There are thousands of 114-year-olds. Australia's foreign minister called for the election to be rerun. U.S. Secretary of State John Kerry said the result was the culmination of a deeply flawed process, and journalists asked Mugabe after he cast his ballot whether he was nervous about the outcome. No, 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 he said. I've gone past that. Russia granted temporary asylum to former National Security Agency contractor Edward Snowden, who faces prosecution in the United States for leaking classified documents, and canceled a concert by the American band Bloodhound Gang after bassist Evil Jared shoved a Russian flag down his pants and said, "Don't tell Putin," during a concert in Ukraine. In Cleveland, Ariel Castro was sentenced to life in prison plus 1,000 years for 937 charges related to his subjection of three women to beatings, rape, and starvation while he held them hostage for over 9 years. "A lot of harmony went on in that home," said Castro. Gangster James Whitey Bulger declined to testify in his trial for racketeering and 19 counts of murder in Boston. "Do what yous want with me," said Bulger. 2 weeks after he was acquitted of murdering Florida teenager Trayvon Martin, George Zimmerman informed a police officer who pulled him over in Texas for speeding that he had a registered gun in his glove compartment. "Just take it easy," said the officer. "Don't play with your firearm, okay?" The U.S. government announced the temporary closure of 22 embassies and consulates across the Middle East and Africa after reportedly intercepting a threatening message sent among senior al-Qaeda figures. A Sharia committee in a rebel-held area of Aleppo, Syria, issued a fatwa banning croissants. And the Observatoire du Pain launched an advertising campaign to combat a steep decline in baguette eating among the French. Pakistani talk show host Dr. Amir Liaquat Hussein gave away two abandoned baby girls during a live television broadcast, and it was reported that a baby weighing 13.4 pounds had been delivered vaginally in Leipzig, making it the largest non-cesarean birth on record in Germany. Avin Dugas of Reserve, Louisiana, was found to have the largest afro at 52 inches in circumference. During a severe heat wave in southern and eastern China, city dwellers cooked bacon, eggs, and shrimp on manhole covers and pavement. A billboard spontaneously combusted, and eggs hatched without incubators. A policeman rescued four chickens left unattended in a hot car in the English village of Cranleigh. Several female British journalists who complained of online abuse against women were sent bomb threats via Twitter. And Scotland established a national register of inflamed bowels. Sign me up. 8 New Jersey TGI Fridays restaurants agreed to pay fines totaling $500,000 after they were found during the state's Operation Swill to have filled premium liquor bottles with cheap spirits, dirty water, rubbing alcohol, and caramel food coloring. A Portuguese court ruled that trash collectors couldn't be fired for being drunk on the job. "With alcohol," read the verdict, "this happy worker is a very efficient, excellent, and quick remover of scrap." Gay bars in Europe and the United States were protesting the recent passage of anti-gay laws in Russia by boycotting Stolichnaya vodka, which is largely distilled in Latvia by a company based in Luxembourg and owned by a Russian exile. A 12-year-old Pennsylvania boy held up a 10-year-old boy's lemonade stand with a BB gun, and a Detroit pastor was shot to death when he asked his neighbors to quiet down. "It was devastating," said his daughter. I cried for a minute. The open-air Tent City Jail in Maricopa County, Arizona, gave inmates candy cigarettes to celebrate its 20th anniversary. The U.S. government agreed to pay $4.1 million to San Diego student Daniel Chong, who was abandoned in a windowless jail cell for 4.5 days following a drug raid in 2012, and Chilean prosecutors exonerated the owners of a copper mine that collapsed in 2010, trapping 33 miners for 69 days. "I want to dig a deep hole," said one miner, "and bury myself again." This article written by Sarah Breslor. And once again, we have reached the end of another Kill Radio Weekly News and Review. And like I always say, people, please be good to each other in the coming week and stay out of the news.